Twitter bots and professional trolls have infiltrated their way into the online space, with the ability to influence online narratives surrounding everything from election campaigns, public perception around climate change, and coronavirus coverage. In a world where turning to social media for one's daily news intake is just a click of a button away, how can we determine when something is real or not? Earlier in the year, hashtag arsonemergency trended during this summer's bushfires, sparking online debate and casting doubt over whether or not the fires had been deliberately set or were a product of climate change. Now, with coronavirus coverage saturating the news cycle and digital space, how do we spot the real from the fake news? I spoke with senior lecturer for the QUT School of Communication, Dr. Timothy Graham, on how false information spreads online.
The thing about false information, especially during disasters like during the bushfire emergency earlier this year, and then also during things like pandemics at the moment, health crises and times like this, there's often a lot of false information being circulated on social media. Not all of it is being spread maliciously. A lot of people who might be sharing, say, for example, what they think is a satellite image of Australia on fire, but in fact it's just a data visualization that's trying to tell a story and it's not quite showing what you think it is. That kind of false information falls under the category of misinformation, where you might have a lot of people sharing this because they're concerned, they're worried, they want other people to know about it, but they genuinely are misinformed about what they're looking at. On the other hand, you have organizations, groups of individuals on social media who are spreading false content and false information with the intent to deceive. And this form of disinformation spreads in a similar but a slightly different way to misinformation. And one of the key ways that disinformation spreads is by co-opting and cultivating existing tensions and divided populations, polarized issues, and trying to kind of jump on board and flush the false information through these communities and through these hyperpartisan individuals and trying to get it to go viral, try and get it to take off. Because often, if you were a disinformation operative or part of an operation, say, for example, like we saw in the US 2016 election, where there was Russian electoral interference in the US democratic process, what the disinformation operation tried to do, and many would argue that it was successful in this, was to try and pose as far-right and far-left-leaning individuals and infiltrate these existing communities, try and get them to adopt the preferred narratives. And part of this is showing them content that they know is going to resonate with these individuals, that they know is likely to get clicks, and ideally is going to be retweeted by someone who's really high profile. And that's when things really take off, and you see at the other extreme end situations where the 5G coronavirus conspiracy theory has become mainstream, or the conspiracy theory that the coronavirus was a weapon that was bioengineered in a lab. And there's two main branches of that theory. There's one where it came from China, it was developed in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and then there's a counter theory where it was actually developed by the US and deployed in Wuhan late last year. But to go from the fringe to the mainstream, I mean, that's really how this stuff spreads. And it's not so much about it convincing individuals on a one-to-one level, debating them or anything. It's more about en masse getting into and infiltrating and co-opting what are already super divided, polarized, highly emotional conversations on social media.
In some of your research, you've focused on the bushfires and the trend of arson emergency trending on Twitter and analyzing this as coming from bots. So what actually are bots?
Yeah, it's really interesting because what we did, or what I was doing rather, was responding to journalists who were asking us if we thought something suspicious was happening on Twitter about the bushfire discussions. There just seemed to be some really kind of extreme viewpoints that were being held by accounts that didn't seem to be real people, right? So what I did was I went and collected a whole bunch of Twitter data just generally about the communication. So these are just general hashtags that people are using. And I just wanted to look at who are the top contributors, who's really dominating the discussions. But out of that, what I saw were these really polarized kind of hashtags. And one was arson emergency. And I thought, okay, that's an interesting hashtag. It's not a big one, but it's kind of growing at the moment. And so let's have a particular look at that. And so the first thing that I did was run a battery of tests, basically statistical models that look at each account. And they go through them one by one, And they analyze the behavior of that account, what it's getting up to, what it's talking about, and based on that, provide a score about how likely they think that that account is automated or a bot. So what's meant by a bot is highly contested, but generally the traditional picture of a bot on social media is a social media account that's not controlled by a human, but it's controlled by computer code on a system somewhere, and it kind of behaves without any human intervention.
When we think about the word bots or trolls online, there's a lot of negative connotation associated with it. But is there such a thing as good bots?
The big focus is on the 1 million bot monsters under the bed who are destroying democracy and things like that. Yes, I do think that that is an issue, but at the same time, you know, there are opportunities to see how we can harness automation for social good. We've found evidence of really bot-like activity by Black Lives Matter activists who, from what we can see, are genuinely concerned with these major social issues. So in the first US presidential debate, there are all of these Black Lives Matter activists who appear to be kind of bots, and not in a bad way. They're not trolling, they're not being negative, but they're trying to be heard, you know, and get the voice out there. And I think in some cases, and although there, you know, there's various different arguments, I think this is a good role for automation and for bots, where they can be used as tools for good. They can be weaponized, if you like, in a positive way, in a way that can benefit society. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. It may end up being bot wars between the left and the right, but I definitely would advocate for a more balanced perspective of what bots are and what uses we have for them.